Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery Podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com, and today I'm excited to have Alex Brown, who's a serial entrepreneur. I was a co-founder of Beard Club, which did $10 million in revenue in the first year and shipped 1.6 million boxes in the first 2.5 years, and also the founder of the Subscription Hacks. Alex is a well-respected thought leader in youth entrepreneurship and employment, and an active advisor and mentor to various organizations related to these causes. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. So you know, can you share your journey about how you got your start into entrepreneurship and subscription businesses?
Yeah, I was introduced to entrepreneurship at a very young age. My dad ran a construction company, as did most of my uncles. So as soon as I was old enough to work, I wanted to go out and to make money and start working and, you know, buy a nice bicycle or whatever it might have been at the time. But through high school, I got better and better at doing construction things, and I started my own company right as I got into university for business. And that kind of allowed me to pay my way through school and taught me definitely a lot about entrepreneurship. But I kind of had the goal in going to university that I actually didn't really want to be an entrepreneur necessarily. I didn't really know how I would go about doing that. I didn't really necessarily want to do that in construction. But I unfortunately graduated in 2009 when the Great Recession hit. And so I was kind of forced to go back to entrepreneurship, really, and go back to the construction world. And I was making really great money building things, but I just wasn't happy. I was having to work too hard, too many hours. It was hard to find great people to work with. And I basically just started volunteering for a lot of different causes to get the experience that I needed to get different jobs and different opportunities to broaden my network. While I was still doing contracting. So I started to work with Startup Canada and just kind of get involved with whatever organization I could in order to broaden my network and start to network with startups. And then I started working with a startup in the pharmaceutical industry, actually, that did contract manufacturing deals, a lot of consulting for companies that wanted to enter new markets. So that was a really interesting experience. I got to meet a lot of really cool people. I wasn't overly passionate about the industry, and I started to get more into natural and holistic health, so it wasn't necessarily the right fit for me. And right about that time, I got introduced to my longtime business partner, Chris Stoikos, and him and I hit it off really great. We built a great relationship right away, and I'm from Canada originally, and he was living in California. He's from Canada originally, too, and he, you know, kind of pitched me on the idea of coming down to California and running all these businesses. And we had so many different ideas of products that we wanted to launch and just really wanted to do some cool stuff. So I moved down there about 4 years ago and we just started launching different products. We did some Indiegogo campaigns. We started to help other people that were doing Indiegogo campaigns and doing their marketing and their videos and stuff like that. And eventually we had a product that we launched called Coolbox, which took off. We did over $500,000 in pre-sales for it. My business partner, Chris, ended up on Shark Tank, which is a big business show in the US. And from there, we kind of got catapulted, I guess, into a little more of a spotlight. Our network kept growing. The companies that we'd started before, they did okay, and they provided us with a ton of lessons, but they are never really positioned for that kind of growth. So we were able to license out the Coolbox product, and that led us to the Beard Club. And we basically, I guess, put about 6.5-7 months into the pre-launch phase and got all the products set up, got our fulfillment set up, and started to work on like branding and building a list. And we made a really great video for it. It was probably the most natural business we started, because at that time we recruited a couple other guys that were living with us. And we were all growing our beards. It was sort of like this weird startup business cult, if you will. And we're growing our beards and kind of living natural and living free and wanted to do business on our terms. And we started using beard oil and we thought this was really cool. And we saw, you know, that the market was just exploding. So that's kind of what led us into that. But we built up, like I said, a bit of a list. We built some infrastructure And then we kind of just like launched it. We made a really great video, launched it, and started to get the video seeded with different influencers. And within a couple of days, it absolutely took off, and we were in BuzzFeed and Huffington Post and all the different like major blogs that we'd ever really wanted to be with all of our other companies, because we did so well with the branding of this. And that's really where a lot of our big time learning came in too, because we thought we had a company, we were doing lots of sales, everything's perfect, but that simply wasn't the case. We had to learn a lot about, you know, creating a website infrastructure that could grow and be customized. We had to redo our fulfillment, our product manufacturing, our product offering. So it really, from there, it's been 3 years now since we've launched. It'd be 3 years next month. But it's been a tremendous amount of learning and growth personally, managing a business that's been growing that fast. And, you know, in the beginning, really not knowing how to manage it and having to figure it all out on the go. And the more people I talk to, the more people tend to figure everything out on the go anyways, as an entrepreneur. And then from there, that's really what led me to starting Subscription Hacks. I got invited to speak more and do more podcasts like this and share my story and share what we've learned and all the different things along the way. And I found it really rewarding and helping others to be, you know, more rewarding for me than selling beard products and doing direct response marketing. And so I've taken all that and have started to help other businesses and other people and created an online course and a community to help other entrepreneurs that are running e-commerce businesses. And that brings me to today, talking to you more or less. That's been the last 4 years, well, the last 10 years for me, but the last intense 4 years of building startups and figuring out, you know, all of the branding and performance marketing and everything that goes behind building a scalable e-commerce business.
Awesome. You know, you really have a great story. But, you know, personally, I love subscription businesses because, you know where the revenue is coming from, and you can retarget the same people and cross-sell and do a lot of other things. But you know, what do you think is the most effective marketing channel when you launch with Beard Club? Should one stick on to one particular marketing equity and then focus on other things, or they should do 10 different things and then figure out what goes well?
I think the experimentation is always going to be super important to anyone that's starting out or anybody that's running a mature business, because certain channels, the best channel by far for us was Facebook, because we made a lot of great video content. So people would be sharing that, and it would make our cost for inquiring at a customer quite low because people really loved what we were doing. They loved our videos. So starting with solid content as a foundation, I think, is probably the biggest thing I would recommend. But then trying different content on different channels, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Pinterest, wherever your customers might be. But environment of experimentation is never going to stop, really, because things change on each platform, algorithms change, customers change where they are, and things are constantly evolving. So, you know, when you're first starting out, that's kind of what you don't want to hear, because you don't have unlimited time and resources. But I don't think there's ever a point where, you know, you're an entrepreneur running a startup where you do have unlimited resources. So you kind of have to, you know, make an educated guess and do some research and pick maybe the top five, but constantly be dabbling and trying to find new things, because while you're focused on what you think is the best, you might be missing out on something that's, you know, up and coming. So it's a little bit of both, I guess, especially if you're just starting out, is to focus, but understand you're going to need to grow and diversify.
Got it. And, you know, you've also built unconscious content and you've worked in viral marketing. So I know the podcast interview is too short time period to talk about how to make viral content, but, you know, how did you manage to get, you know, 200 million video views? And, you know, what are the best ways on how to make a viral content?
I think it's very tough to intentionally create a viral video. I think it's more important to intentionally create great content. And again, that kind of comes back to experimentation. But the secret for us for getting 200 million video views and a decent amount more now is that, I dropped my phone there, is that, you know, we've always had a focus on having great creative people on our team and committing to creating great content. So it's not necessarily about going viral. It's about creating that content that increases people's affinity for your brand, that will help you acquire customers, that will help you retain customers, which is super important, is creating a membership and a customer experience, even with video. So just having a focus on creating great content is more important than trying to put all of your eggs in one basket and make a viral video, because it's tough to actually do that. And the only way to do it is by creating something that's authentic and very creative and that people love to share.
Got it. And when you started using Beard Oil and you got the concept of Beard Club, where do you get to manufacture your products? You know, there's a lot of talk about Amazon FBA where people are, getting quotes from Alibaba and manufacturing their products there. Is that the right way, or how did you go about manufacturing your products?
It took us quite a while to find the right manufacturers. And then afterwards we had to switch, but there's no necessarily right way. And it's really difficult, like you said, in 20 minutes to make this relevant for everyone. But the best way to do it, I've found, is to create like a master search document, right? So it can be an Excel sheet, but it's where you're going to keep all the potential manufacturers that you find that could manufacture your product. And that could be through making connections on Alibaba. It could be through LinkedIn. It could be through Google searches. Or a lot of times there's like industry associations that will have a database of all the manufacturers for, say, like a cosmetics product, like a beard oil. So what I started doing was just making that big list of, here are all the companies and the contact information, and here's where all the conversations are at. Because you might have to search through and have conversations with 30 manufacturers before you find the right one. And even when you do find the right one, you don't want to necessarily just have one option. It's great to have multiple different options in case something happens with their business and they go out of business. But I think having like the focus on filling your pipeline from a bunch of options, knowing exactly kind of what you're going to say to them, what's your pitch, why they should really want your business, and then kind of negotiating with all of them. The tough part of that too is that there's different criteria that you have to rank, such as their lead time. So how quickly they can produce the product, how much they cost versus the other people, if they do the packaging or if you need to do packaging elsewhere. So you want to try and get it as close to an apples to apples comparison, you might say, but it'll be difficult. And the best way to do it, I found, is by giving yourself a ton of different options, knowing what you're going to say, and negotiating hard to get what you want, and then just making that decision based on your gut and knowing that you have other options should that fall through.
Got it. And, especially with Amazon and other platforms, becoming easier to run e-commerce businesses, but were you leveraging other marketplaces, or were you focusing on Shopify to fulfill your products?
Yeah, we've got a little bit on Amazon now and starting to do better because it is such a huge marketplace. We've predominantly been selling through our own website, but it's certainly a force to be reckoned with. It's probably the biggest product search engine in the world besides Google. But we realized that because we had been ignoring it, there were plenty of people that were on there searching for the Beard Club because they wanted to get they wanted to use their Prime shipping. So I think that for a lot of businesses, it's certainly something that's worth looking into. It's definitely more, it's harder for certain industries and certain products to actually be profitable on there though. So you might end up being there initially just to get those sales and to try and win them back to your own website. But that is better than your competitors getting a sale, I guess.
Got it. When you build a subscription business, you're looking at retaining and engaging your customers. So what would be the best way for engaging the customers? Is it through content, through video content, which you're already doing, or cross-selling other products? What do you think is the right way to engage with your customers?
I think, again, content's going to be great. Video content's even better because very few companies do video content. But email marketing has the highest return on investment of any kind of marketing online right now. because people will open emails, especially from a company that they've purchased products from. The key is to have great emails though, and to have great copy in there, and to really make people feel like you're helping them accomplish their goal, like they're the hero in their own story, and tailoring a customer experience and a membership experience to them. And that was a lesson that we'd learned the hard way, because we didn't realize the importance of having great emails and building a relationship and just continually providing value for people to the point where they want to open your emails. So you can cross sell them on something else, or you can upsell them for their next subscription box. But it's certainly the best way to retain customers is to prioritize them and to give them value and to make them feel like they're part of something bigger than just a transaction.
Got it. And, you know, I want to talk about subscription hacks. You know, so you said it's an online course and online community for people who want to build subscription businesses. But, you know, how's your product different from others? There are a lot of other, you know, online courses which talk about Etsy subscription, or, you know, there's subscription, which has also started on Amazon FBA. So, you know, what can people learn from subscription hacks, and who's your target audience?
I actually deal with more than just subscription companies, because I found as I was building it out, that people, you know, from every sort of e-commerce kind of space, not just subscription space, could benefit from what I had. But essentially I'd taken everything I've learned and put it into this format. So some of the stuff we touched about on today is, you know, membership experience, finding contract manufacturers, doing proper fulfillment, all the stuff that I know to be key to growing an e-commerce business, I put into this knowledge base, really. But I did realize in doing that, not only are there other solutions out there that can teach you many of the same things with a different style, but most people that buy an online course, myself included, multiple times, don't actually end up finishing it. And I didn't feel right about charging somebody money for a course when they wouldn't actually go and apply that knowledge. So I actually, as people sign up for the course, I'm able to reach out to them all individually. And I don't know how scalable that is, but I like to be able to give people actionable advice right away based on what I see for their business and the opportunities that they have. And then I'm able to kind of like link them up with the people that have taken me 4 or 5 years in the e-commerce space to actually go to, you know, $5,000 mastermind events to meet the best web developer or the best fulfillment company. So it's kind of a partnering opportunity at the same time to tap into my network, get some direct experience from me, and then whenever they need to access a knowledge base that, you know, helped me build a company that did $10 million in our first year.
Got it. And, you know, I just want to touch base on what are the important metrics for somebody who's looking at building a either a, you know, software subscription business or an e-commerce subscription business?
There's a lot of different metrics to kind of keep your eye on. There's retention metrics and there's acquisition metrics. So acquisition metrics are like your lifetime value. You could argue that's retention as well. But so your lifetime value of a customer, which will allow you to understand if your cost for acquiring a customer is $20 and you know that the lifetime value of a customer is $60, that you can actually spend, you know, more than just that first month's acquisition cost, because you'll make it up. So in that as well, you need to kind of build out a cohort analysis to see this customer came in from the Facebook channel and they are, you know, a cohort of customers came in this month and they're still around on month 3. But kind of getting really granular into the way that people are acquired by your business as a customer and how they might eventually leave. And that gives you the data to understand really like how those customers behave, and also give you ideas on how to retain them. Say, you know, a lot of people that come in through Facebook with a specific offer, say a kit, they'll end up dropping off on month 3. So you know that halfway through month 2 that there's something special that you need to do to, you know, get them to stay longer. Or maybe it's just providing an opportunity for them to exit the business more gracefully and not stack up too much product, say, and start to build a longer term relationship. So 6 months from now, they actually come back and that bumps your lifetime value. So data and metrics and analytics are absolutely huge, not just for a subscription business, but, you know, for any e-commerce business. And having a solid data person or, you know, a data and analytics consultant that can help you out and help you build the right dashboard, is so key, because otherwise you're just kind of flying in the dark and throwing stuff at the wall and trying to see what sticks.
Right, makes sense. So let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
Favorite business book right now is definitely called Never Lose a Customer Again by Joey Coleman, all about membership experience. And I would recommend that to anybody, not just for subscription, but for any business in general, online, offline. Tremendous book on how to build a great customer experience.
Okay. And if you could go back in time when you started your business, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
I think there's a lot of things that I wish I'd focused on a little more, email marketing being one of them on the business side, but I wish I'd focused a little more on the journey instead of the destination, and realizing that each day is part of something as well, and not just an end goal all the time.
What's your favorite online tools example, Gmail or Slack?
I love everything G Suite. And having everything organized in Google Drive in the right folders and accessible by the right team members, and then tied in with all of their, document sharing and everything like that, and collaboration tools. So G Suite's just knocking it out of the park, in my opinion.
Got it. And I've got another one for you. What do you love more, building businesses or marketing or growing these businesses?
I'm in love with building them and starting them. And operating them, I sort of tend to get bored, as I think a lot of entrepreneurs do, and reach a point for that. But I'm obsessed with building and starting things and creativity.
Got it. And, what is the best way people can reach out to you and know more about Subscription Hacks?
You can reach out at info@subscriptionhacks.com, or there's a ton more information on our website at subscriptionhacks.com.
Thanks for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self-Mastery Podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.